John chapter 13, verse 1, right down to verse 17. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So, after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them.
Thank you for joining with us on Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Canada. This is Ian Gallagher, and I hope that today that you will be blessed as we learn a little of the need for humility in the Christian life. What a wonderful thing to be humble believers, mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, children, all demonstrating the humility that was in the Lord Jesus. How we would be a very different Christian society if we truly displayed on a regular, consistent basis that humility of spirit. The Lord Jesus demonstrated this for us in foot washing. He took a towel, a basin of water, and he washed each one of the disciples' feet. Feet that were dirty and dusty, feet that were aching from the journey, and here the Lord comforted, ministered to his own disciples in a very lowly fashion, demonstrating that there ought to be nothing too low for us to stoop to minister one to the other. Now, if that was truly put into practice, we would have a very different lifestyle. We would certainly have a different church. And what a testimony the church would be to a very dog-eat-dog world. And so I exhort you today to stay tuned to our message as we come to the Gospel of John chapter 13, where we have the Lord Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. And may the Lord bless you through his word today as we let the Bible speak.
And while we do not take this foot washing literally, that we should wash one another's feet with actual water, yet there is a message here. And J.C. Ryle says, our Lord would have us love each other so much that we should delight to do anything which can promote their happiness. We ought to rejoice in doing kindnesses, even in little things. We ought to count it a pleasure to lessen sorrow and multiply joy, even when it costs us some self-sacrifice and self-denial. And this is the mind of the Master. This is the call of our Christian discipleship. And it's as real in the 21st century as in the first century. We are to be known in our deeds of kindness and our acts of self-denying service one to another. And this humility reaches all levels of Christianity. Boys and girls, you can do this. The oldest Christian can do this. The busy Christian can still do this. Housewives can do this. Business people can do this. This is a marker of every professing Christian that we are, to put it in the term of this setting, foot washers, willing to serve one another. Why did Jesus do this? To show his own humility and to be an example to us. The question is, will we follow in his footsteps? Will we live that kind of Christian life? Or will we insist, no, I'm a prince, I'm a king, others must serve me? That's not Christianity. That's not the fruit of the gospel. Now, secondly, I move on here, and we come down to verses 4 and 5. The Lord demonstrated his love by his personal service. The Lord did not do this in the abstract, not in theory, but he personally got up from that supper. He got up from the table. He took the towel. He got the basin of water, and he got right down to laying hold upon the feet of each one of those disciples. Indeed, in verses 4 and 5, you will see seven parts to this process. Number one, if you look at verse 4, he rose from the table. Secondly, he laid aside his garments. That would have been his outer garments. And no doubt they would have been defiled by the washing process. And these were dirty feet, by the way. In those days, they wore open sandals. They walked on roads that were dusty and dirty. And even if it was just a kilometer or a mile or two to this event, these guests would be arriving with very dusty, dirty feet. These disciples did not have what we would call beautiful feet. They were wrinkled and they were gnarled with the use of time and walking, and yet the Lord took himself down to that level. We're also told in that verse 4 that he took a towel and he girded himself. He made it into an apron, the very scene of a serpent. Then he poured water into a basin. He did everything himself. He had no helpers. He began to wash the disciples' feet. That's number 6. And then number 7, when he finished washing, he wiped those feet with the towel or that was wrapped around him as an apron. And you can see the personal attention to every aspect of this work. The Lord undertook this humble service personally. He wanted to do it himself because this was his advertisement. This was his action statement. I mean what I say, that I love my own and I love them unto the end. And no doubt he could have commanded the disciples, or he could have set up some arrangement where they would be washing one another's feet. But the Lord did it all, and he did it one by one personally. Now this too is our example, because we're not off the hook when we tithe. We're not off the hook when we support in some other way. This Christian life of service is going to cost you your personal engagement, your personal action. You cannot be a disciple of Christ in a proxy manner by having others do this kind of work for you. You must show up. You must roll up your sleeves. You must get into the action of this work. Now, in our days, we're living in what we would call the convenience age, and everything is prepackaged and ready to go and made as easy as possible. But we must remember that as Christians, we're still living in the Christian age of real-time service. And we must seek out those opportunities where we can minister with such acts of kindness, where we follow our Lord's example and say, aha, this is my opportunity. I'm not going to allow anyone else to get into this. I'm going to be there and I'm going to help. Now, it might be giving a ride to church. It might be providing a meal for someone who is sick or even in hospital. Maybe giving a ride to a medical appointment or helping out in a family situation. And you ask, can I help? You seek ways to help. You put it on your calendar and you said, I must do that. This is my opportunity to demonstrate my Christian testimony, that I just don't speak or pray or tell someone, well, I'll pray for you, but rather you get into the midst of serving. Now, as you know, I've been at the hospital a number of times this week, and I took opportunities to just talk with people and visit around and give out literature to people in the hospital. But you know, there are many hospitals in the world where, apart from the basic medical attention, there is no laundry, there is no food provided, and all that practical aid that is required for the sick and suffering has to be provided by family or friends or neighbors. And so there would be this constant flow of people into those hospitals to give assistance, and it would require a lot of time and effort. And there are some churches in these countries, and they use that opportunity to become their Christian witness, to go into those medical centers and hospitals and to just lend help, to encourage, comfort, and to perhaps feed the sick and the dying. The church used to be involved in many practical means of ministry. And I fear that in our society, the church is becoming very sanitized, and it's almost drawing away from the great needs that are in the world around us. But when you start looking for them, you'll find them over and over. And we need to be intuitive and find ways to serve our fellow believers and those that are in need, that we might be a Christian witness to them. Now, of course, we must pray for them. We must have them on our hearts and bring them to the Lord. But then we must do as Jesus said. And he says, I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. And so this is a very powerful call to make our Christianity practical and real, relevant, serving one another. More than just a clap on the back, more than just a handshake, but real-time service. Now, what over these recent weeks could you point to as a part of your Christian service for the Lord? I leave that question with you, and may it prompt you to seek opportunities. One more thing I look at here today, And that is that Jesus' love is demonstrated by his gospel acceptance. Now, that heading is to help the preacher. It keeps me on track on this theme of Jesus displaying his love. And I use the word gospel acceptance, because when you get down to verse 8, you will see poor Peter, he's all confused. Peter is at, this is his worst hour. He announces to the Lord in verse 8, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." And here is Peter in something of his self-confidence, and it is a statement that he's not going to reduce himself or have the Lord reduced to wash his feet. He doesn't need that. And you'll see there in verse 8, the Lord answering this, Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me, no fellowship with me." And this meant that everyone needs cleansing. Everyone needs that work of washing away the dust of the world and those sins that beset us. That's the lot of every Christian. Now, as I said, Peter, this is his worst hour, because it gets worse as you read on. Verse 9, Simon Peter saith unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my feet." You can see the pendulum swinging now. He first of all says, "Not, you're not going to wash me. You're not going to do this to me." And then the Lord says, "Well, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me." And then Peter swung the other side, and he said, "Well, then you gotta wash me all together." And the Lord had to bring the pendulum back again. And so you'll see the Lord speaking to him in verse 10. "He that is washed is clean every whit." And here the Lord assured Peter that he was accepted, that he was washed from his sins, and he was right with God. The only thing that needed to be washed was his feet. And so we learn here that salvation is a one-time deal. There is only one justification, and the Christian doesn't need to be saved each and every day all over again. And once the Lord declares his love for us, it's unending, unfailing. Peter was acting as if the Lord would receive him today, cast him off tomorrow, and receive him again. No, that's not how the Christian lives his Christian life. We enjoy our acceptance in the Lord. And I use that word deliberately, acceptance. As our hymn put it, "Accepted am I in my beloved." And that's the position of the Christian. But there is this matter of our dusty feet. And that brings us to Jesus' love demonstrated by his daily cleansing of believers. What was this washing for, this feet washing? It speaks of the believer's walk. It's not our salvation, it's our walk. And no Christian can walk through this world and not get defiled by the dust, the grime, the sin of this world. We live in a world where sin is all around us, and every step we take, we are in danger of being defiled. But the Lord knows that. And the Lord makes provision for the washing of our feet as Christians. And every day we must confess our need of fresh cleansing, of being washed again from the defilement of the world, that we might enjoy sweet fellowship with the Lord. Now, what our Lord Jesus said to Peter in verse 8, Jesus answered, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." That means no fellowship with me. Do you remember how Mary and Martha, Mary chose the good part? What was that good part? Sitting at Jesus' feet, hearing his word, having fellowship with him. And so this word part means fellowship. And the Lord Jesus was saying to Peter, except I wash you from the filth of this world, you have no fellowship with me. And so the Christian needs constant daily washing, that we might maintain our personal fellowship with the Lord. What a wonderful hope and strength this gives us. Now, in 1 John 1, we have very familiar verses which say that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin, and we have fellowship one with another. Fellowship. And this is the sanctifying, purifying work of the Lord in his own. They are already his own. And because he loves his own, he is willing, ready, and has made provision to cleanse us and to keep us clean, even while we are in this world. And so, the Christian who is already bathed totally, washed completely in the blood of Jesus, doesn't need to be saved again and again, but does still need the daily cleansing from the filth of the world. And might I say, this is the way to victory in your Christian life. This is the way that you learn, I am accepted, but I also need to deal with the world and its impact upon me. And I must let nothing interrupt my personal close fellowship with the Lord. Now, I must say on Peter's defense, having bashed him a little bit, I must say in his defense that when Peter was called back by the Lord, he obeyed instantly. The good thing about Peter and all his impetuosity is that he could take correction. And as the Lord spoke to him, then he submitted to this washing of his feet. He enjoyed the ministry of the Lord to him. And here is a great example for us. That when we get it wrong, turn to the Lord, and he will be gracious. And this is also how we should care for our brothers and sisters. Sometimes our brothers and sisters get a notion, and they think they're all right, we're all wrong, and we have to pull them back. But we should do it as the Lord Jesus did, that we might bring them back into fellowship, back into blessing, back into walking in the light of the Lord. And so your spiritual growth must be my passion, and the well-being of every Christian here must be the personal interest of every Christian as we serve one another. This should be your reason to throw your weight into the life of the church, to care for the people of God. In a sense, those who say, well, I'm just going to stay up outside, I'm going to be on the fringe. In a sense, you're saying, I don't need to be washed. I don't need to be a part of this foot washing. I'm okay. And I'm not interested in the needs of God's people. I'm just keeping my distance. But the Lord Jesus gave us an example, and we must follow through that we may ever, always serve one another. And do it for Christ. Do it for his name and his glory, and for the privilege of ministering to the saints. May God take this word and make it effective and real and personal in your own heart and in your soul today.
Let's bring this subject down to some very practical aspects of how we ought to be living the Christian life. Maybe at the very beginning of this new year, you realize that you need to be setting some goals or resolutions. Well, the first thing that I would advise is that you get involved in a local Bible-believing gospel church, and there seek to minister to serve God's people, to assist and strengthen the hands of those who are holding forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus. God has ordained his church that we might be a visible witness right here on this earth. And God uses the witness, the work and witness of his own people. And so that's where we begin. Secondly, don't seek the first place, but be willing to take even the last. And the Lord has promised that when we are faithful in little, that then he will promote us to be stewards of greater. And that's where we must all begin, even at the least and the lowest position, that we might prove our love to Christ and our interest in serving the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, I have on our website an article on how to find a Bible-believing gospel church. This is one of the most difficult questions that I receive when people ask me, can you recommend a church in my area? And of course, I can talk to them at length on that, but unless you actually visit the church, hear the ministry, and have that witness of the Spirit to your own heart, well, the born-again Christian may never know. So the first thing to do is to check it out and to witness what's happening and to see if the Lord is ministering to your own heart. Now, on that website article, and you can search it there in the search box, and you will see just a number of things to look for, guidelines to guard against pitfalls in church membership. And so follow along, and I trust that the Lord will truly lead you. Other ways that you can serve are in the home. The Christian home ought to have that atmosphere of humility. I think of the home where the Lord Jesus visited Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. From all that we know about that home, there was a readiness to serve. Martha was cumbered with much serving. She was a servant to a fault. She was perhaps too busy, too minded to serve others. But that is a very good fault, if it be a fault at all. And Martha and Mary wanted to sit at Jesus' feet and learn of him. Lazarus was there too, and they each were very ready to receive the Lord Jesus into their midst. Now we must be such Christians that we minister to the saints, given to hospitality. That is one of the requisites of Christian service. And I pray that God will burden you and use you in your desire to serve him. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of this broadcast or would like to hear it again, you can go to ltbs.ca. You will also see ways you may support this gospel ministry. And you will find details about our church in Scarborough, where Pastor Larry Saunders is the minister. In Port Hope, where Reverend Reggie Cranston is the minister. In Barrie, where Reverend Anthony D'Aderno is the minister. And in Buffalo, where Reverend Phil Owen is the minister. You will find all their details at ltbs.ca. If I can be of personal help, I would love to open the Bible to talk and pray one-to-one with you, so that you may know you are saved and sure of it. Call me at 604-897-2040 or email me at ltbsradio@gmail.com. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Until the same time next week on this station, may the Lord bless you and keep you in his loving care.